What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Okay, everyone, shut up and look at me.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
The less I know about other people's affairs, the happier I am. I'm not interested in caring about people.
Isaac Rob.
I once worked with a guy for 3 years and never learned his name. Best friend I ever had. We still never talk sometimes.
Jason Sukanik.
I also think it's pointless for a human to paint scenes of nature when they could just go outside and stand in it.
Prime Time on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080.
Please do not misinterpret the fact that I am talking right now as genuine interest. End of speech.
The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up? Good Monday.
Did you ever think about that one for a second?
Everybody doing out there in Sportsland?
Monday something.
You guys doing a good doing good deeds out there, being all cool.
Was there good deeds done today?
Well, that's what you should be doing.
You just wake up and do good deeds?
Yes.
I'm trying to think if I even had an opportunity to do a good deed.
You just got off a plane, right?
I did. I helped an old Asian lady with her bag.
Yes, it counts. I think that... When you're in an airport, you have more opportunity to do good deeds than in most other places.
That's true.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm trying to... That was it. Getting off... We took the earliest flight out of L.A. today, and there was a little old Asian lady who's about 1,000 years old, and I put her bag up for her, and then I took it down for her. Yeah. And there was no... It was not an ask... I just was like, would you like some help with that? Because I really felt that, one, getting to my seat was going to be expedited by me doing it for her. And two, I was afraid that the bag would fall on her and kill her.
Yeah. I see oftentimes, we've all seen that, okay? Yeah. We've all seen the woman who is by herself struggling to get the bag up in the overhead bin, okay?
Yeah.
Is the word presumptive or presumptuous?
I thought it was... Well, I think it's presumptive of you, but you're being presumptuous.
Oh, okay.
I think that's right.
Is it presumptive of me to want to help every woman who is by herself trying to put her bag in the overhead bin? Because oftentimes I watch.
It's a little chauvinistic of you.
Well, that's what
I'm using big words today, by the way.
Well, that's what I'm asking. It's presumptive of me to... In other words, should we just be chivalrous?
Yeah.
Or should we... Is that viewed as sexist
It's a good call.
in these days?
Well, I've seen it where, like, you know...
I just want to help.
Well, I'm a progressive fella, and women can do a lot of, you know, what...
I thought you were MAGA.
Only on the weekends. During the day, I'm very progressive.
Weekend MAGA.
Yeah, I'm a weekend MAGA guy. Okay. You know, January 6th, you know, occasionally some certain holidays, 4th of July, you know.
I think we're going to stop.
When we're playing drops, you know, big international meetings. So I always feel bad because I don't, you never want to piss off someone by doing well, I'm a big man and I'm going to blah, blah.
That's what I'm asking.
But at the same time, I think there's certain things that if I was a woman, which I'm not, I would think would just be
It'd be nice.
If we're on a bus, we were on a crowded bus multiple times going to the Dodger game. We were taking shuttles because you can't drive into Chavez Ravine. And those places are packed. And I saw multiple men offer up their seats to women. And I was like, that's very nice. And if I was a lady, I would think that that's a nice, that's a nice feather in my cap. Don't know if it's worth like unequal pay, you know, but it's a nice perk.
Yeah. This is why you make less, lady. Just remember that.
It's a nice perk. Like if I'm on a sinking ship, right? Women and children first, there are advantages to it.
Okay. But that's different. That is just being polite.
Yeah.
Are you being chauvinistic by assuming that the woman cannot
a little bit
lift her little baggie up into the overhead bin?
Now, if you're assuming all, now, then yes, you are. But this lady, if you would have seen the lady, like we all know.
She needed the help.
Yeah,
and she Yeah, so if you didn't help her, somebody else would.
Someone else. That bag was not going into the... I don't think she could reach the overhead bin. And she had that mighty hump that the old ladies get.
Oh, yeah.
So she's not even...
I already have that.
Yeah, she can't even go upright. Like, that needed to happen. But if I see, like, an able-bodied, you know, healthy gal, it might be a bit presumptuous of me to assume she needs my help. I will wait and see if there's a little bit of a struggle. Or maybe she's, you know, maybe she's looking around for someone to help. I think it's a case-by-case situation.
Well, but
situation.
You don't know what she's thinking. So no. In other words, she could be thinking, oh, why won't some of these jerk men help me out?
Yeah.
Or she could be thinking, I don't need these jerk men to help me out. And finally, men don't.
Yeah, you don't know.
You just don't know. I don't know what to do.
It can go either way. It is a tough, it's a tough situation.
My wife and I joke
about... Well, and
about,
God forbid you ma'am. I told you, don't ma'am someone. Oh, yeah. I did that a couple times, and I got in trouble for that.
No, you don't really address anyone by anything. You just talk.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to... You don't need to call anyone anything.
Mm. Important point of clarification here. Presumptive and presumptuous are often confused, but they have different meanings. Presumptive generally means based on probability or reasonable expectation, while presumptuous means excessively forward or bold, often to the point of rudeness.
Okay, so I misused it.
It's Ryan Buckley, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan. It's presumptuous, not presumptive. I should have used presumptive. Is it presumptuous to... want to help?
I think it's both, though, in this case, because based on probability and reasonable expectation, an older woman might need help. But also, if you are offering your help to the point of offending, then that would be presumptuous.
Well, my wife and I joke about this a lot in our house because we just think the gender, we just think that's all kind of funny.
Yeah.
And we joke about it.
Sure.
Right? Like, oh, she's just a weak girl. She's always like, oh, I'm just a weak. Will you open this can of or this jar of pickles. Mm-hmm. I'm just a weak girl. And I'm like, yes, you need my manly. And then, you know. I open the jar of pickles with my manly strength.
Every man will fight. Like, if you're in a group of men and there is a woman struggling to open a can, watch every dude elbow each other out of the way. I'm more manly than you.
But the thing about it is she kind of does need me to open the jar of pickles.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
you know
what is wrong. Now we're getting into a whole other thing.
Ooh, all right,
all simply because
let's
I
get into some hot progressive. Well, Sucanic.
It's not even progressive.
Takes.
It's just why does
soy boy?
Why does everything have to be 50-50? Why can't we realize that there are things in this world that are better suited in general for some people and others? Like, we have strengths. Not everyone is. Like, not everyone is an equally balanced person. We have certain things that we're good at, certain things we're poor at, certain genders. Size plays a role in this as well.
Yeah.
Like, God or Allah or Tom Cruise blessed each person with certain things, right? Some of us are...
Don't I know it?
Yeah, right? Some of us swing that hammer like Isaac Rupp. Other people are maybe big, strong people that can help. Other people, maybe you've got small circus hands and you can get it. I was trying to change a headlight once. Could not get my stupid meat hooks in there. My tiny daughter, guess what? Her little rat claws, perfect.
And it makes me sad.
Weaseled right in there and got it done. So you would think changing a headlight, this manly thing. My daughter was way better at it. And without her, I wouldn't have done it. So what's wrong with being able to specialize? What's wrong with saying, hey, I'm good at some things. I'm not good at the others. Nature kind of makes certain people one way. And yeah, there'll be some outliers. And for those outliers, hey, great way to disrupt the system. But we got to stop with this, you know, everyone's equal. Everyone can do everything that everyone else can do because it's just not true. We all are blessed with certain advantages and disadvantages. And in this case, you know, that lady is born a hunchback. I believe she's been 1,000 years old for 1,000 years. Well, she looked like that type. And those people need some help with some luggage.
I like Jordan's take on this. He says, man, I'm pretty liberal soy boy, but if I offer to help someone and they freak out and call me a pig, that's more a them issue than anything. He says, I just offer my help and hope that they're well-adjusted individuals.
Yes.
That's right.
This is why that time that I offended the hot air balloon rider in the denim purple vest because I stepped out of their way at a new season's, that's on them. That's not on me. I was trying to be polite. If you don't know that story, I ma'amed someone. I said, oh, excuse me, ma'am. And I stepped out of the way to let them go by. And then they got very angry at me because I said, ma'am. And then I apologized because then I was like, oh, crap, it's a guy. And then I said, sir, and they got even more pissed at me. And I was like, I'm trying to be nice. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm trying to move out of your way and let you go ahead of me to be a nice person. And you're turning something that I'm trying to do into me like being an offensive jerk.
That's more reflective of that person than you.
It'd be one thing if I was like, whatever, ma'am, because I'm trying to, you know, dig at you. I just thought you were a lady. And I was trying to be nice, and I thought ma'am was a nice term. Turns out it wasn't, and I'm sorry.
Would it kill you to say, after you, they?
Oh, my God. Would it have don't think you can say that.
Would it have killed them or
that
they
whiny bitch.
To simply say this? thank you, sir, or no, thank you, he, or whatever. I would prefer if you referred to me as this, but I appreciate you moving out of the way and letting me go first. And I would have said, I'm so sorry that I miss, whatever the hell you call that.
Labeled.
I'm sorry, I certainly didn't mean to do that. And yes, I will call you this, and yet still, go ahead of me in this line with your small child and your wonderful rainbow vest. On your way. And by the way, I like your haircut. High five, and we go about our merry way. But that person wanted to be combative. They literally were looking for a fight, and I was looking to be nice. So, again, this goes back to my, it's a situational thing. If you see someone that you think needs some help, offer some help. The worst thing that can happen is they can say, no, thank you, I've got this. And that's fine.
And that's when Suk learned that we don't label or address people anymore. We just speak.
Yeah. I still contend that ma'am or sir is a perfectly acceptable, when done with a good heart.
Again.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There, of course not. But you find the wrong person like you did.
Yeah.
And that's why it's just like, why? You don't need it.
No.
It's not important.
I did have a
don't need to be sir.
I did have a bartender that said, because we had this conversation. I was drinking at a bar, shocking. And the person was, what are they? The non-binary.
Non-binary.
And so I asked. I said, hey, great person.
What's that mean, by the way?
They don't identify.
They don't identify as male or female. They're
just
they're
person.
Not one or the other.
Yeah. Oh. And I said, I asked him this. Hmm. I had this very question. And I said, I thought I was being polite. And I said, because I think saying, there you go, they, or I thought that's weird. I can't compute that.
Yeah, you wouldn't use it necessarily like that, but you want to know the right way to do it.
And so I said, what could I do to make sure that I didn't offend anyone? And they had a great one. They said, friend. And I said, I like that. So now, if I was in that same situation and I saw the person land their hot air balloon from teaching kids how to read with their rainbow vest and we're coming into the new season's market and I wanted to let them go ahead of me, I would say, there you go, friend. And that's sincere.
Nobody offended.
No one's offended. We've gone with friend.
Yeah, but I'm taking it a step further in offering this. You don't need friend. You can just say hello.
Yeah.
Or goodbye, or like, there you go.
Yeah, I like to. I want to be friendly.
We don't need to.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, it's friendly either way.
Yeah, that's true. Know. There you go.
By the way, hot news.
Yeah.
Do you think you're gray sexual?
Gray sexual.
That's the new one.
I don't know. I'm confused again.
Gray.
Gray. So,
which here's another. Can I ask another grammar?
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah, grammar rodeo.
Is gray spelled G-R-E-Y or G-R-A-Y?
I think both are correct.
That's another one. Why?
I don't know why. I think one's more British, typically, but I don't think it matters.
You don't think it matters? Really? Interchangeable?
I think it is. I've always thought that gray was G-R-A-Y.
A-Y? See, I always go E.
You
I
go
don't know
E?
Why.
They're both correct spellings of the same color.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
American English more typically uses gray with an A, but other English-speaking regions like the UK, Canada, and Australia generally use gray with an E.
Hmm.
Okay.
So can we now, what is gray
That's
sexual?
Great. Oh, well.
Just into old people? Or?
No. Gen Z, their latest obsession is they are coming out as gray sexual.
Yeah.
And it exists in what many describe as a gray area between allosexual, which is experiencing sexual attraction, and asexual, which is experiencing no sexual attraction.
Okay.
So in other words, they're kind of iffy on any sort of sexual attraction.
Oh.
They might be into it, but they're not sure.
Yeah, sometimes they're into it, sometimes they're not. Mm. They're gray sexuals. That's the new one.
I just take this as bringing it back full circle, right? Well, because what we talked about was like, be a good, do a good deed right out there. If you're doing a good deed, if you have love in your heart, and you're not trying to offend anyone, you're doing fine. And to anyone that is offended that someone is saying something or doing something that you don't like, but they're not doing it in an aggressive manner, then have some grace towards that person. And then you do the good deed by not throwing it back in their face.
Grace.
And choosing to love and get along with one another. And if we all did that, it would be a happier place.
Where's Magasook? I want Magasook. Where's Magasook? I want Magasook back.
You should have seen me down at Disneyland this weekend, man. I was magging it up left and right.
Make America great again. Let's start punching kids in the face.
Yeah.
America, yeah.
Fat, uneducated.
That's the Sook I want. So you went to Disney while you were down there?
Yeah, we hit a couple. We hit the Dodgers and then hit a little round of Disney, which once again, I would state for the record, the only thing that ruins Disneyland is sobriety in children. And when you go without it, you can just have a grand old time.
So Sook is now in a statistic that I sent Rob today.
That's right. That ties in nicely to something we will discuss in our program today.
Okay, yeah. This was the BTJ's first time at Disneyland. She was like a child. She couldn't have been any happier. We had no kids to carry around. We had a wonderful time. It did piss off my kids, though, that this is now, because they all love Disney and I hate it. I have now been to Disney World and Disneyland in the last like 4 or 5 years without them, and I'm catching a lot of blowback from the Sukanic children.
Well, a lot of people are saying that's a bad father.
Well, again, I stand by my statement. You want to ruin Disneyland, take kids. You want to have a good time at Disneyland, go by yourself or with your significant other.
Well, I guess I don't.
You'll have a great time.
This ties in perfectly to what we'll be talking about later in the program, but I don't know why you would go to Disney without kids. It's a kid place.
That's fun. You got to put more whimsy. And the BTJ loved it. Mm-hmm. She was.
Well, you got to keep Mama happy.
You got to keep Mama. She was all kinds of stoked about it.
Yeah, let's do that.
Watching her was like taking like a 6-year-old. Like we stood in line to meet Winnie the Pooh and Mickey Mouse. And I was like, are we really doing this? And she's like, yeah, we are. And watching a little kid get excited about hugging a character in a Winnie the Pooh costume, adorable. Guess what? watching your significant other do the same thing, just as adorable. Because she got just as excited. She loved it.
Well, that's cute.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to hear about Los Angeles later in the show.
Sorry about your Padres.
Yeah, God.
Yeah, go Dodgers.
You swept us. Your Dodgers.
Yeah. And I will say this. We can talk.
You're
this.
On board, aren't you?
We can talk. My Mets are back on the winning track. Thank you. We took two of three.
Thanks
from
to
the
Mariners.
Suck it, Mariners.
It's not very nice.
Have never seen it. And I wasn't around in Chicago when Jordan was there. I saw the Bulls come play the Jazz in the finals when I was in Utah. I was in Denver when, you know, Bronco Mania was going on. I have never seen a city, especially one as diverse and as big as Los Angeles, swept up by one thing the way Ohtani has. It's well, incredible.
Should we start there?
Yeah.
You want to start there?
Dude, it is freaking nuts.
Yeah.
That town.
Well, he's a big deal.
Or that city when he's there.
Did the BTJ get her hands on him?
No. Luckily, we were... That to get anywhere near him, the seats, oh my God. Those Dodger Padres is not an inexpensive ticket.
All right, well, yeah, we'll start there. Yeah. Why not? And then we'll check in on a few quarterback battles in college. Is it possible that Dante Moore is not Oregon's starting quarterback?
Dun, dun, dun.
Play this drop real quick. There you go. And we'll be right back on 105.1 The Fan. Well, we're almost there. We've got college football games
this week,
Saturday.
Okay.
But first, baseball. Isn't it wild? Like, baseball's been going on for so many months,
mm-hmm.
and we're only just now getting to important stuff.
Yeah,
it's called baseball in particular.
Well, now we're in stretches. I mean, this is when we're coming out of summer and you get into September and series like Dodgers and Padres, and they got another one in San Diego, I believe this coming weekend. I mean, these are big series.
Yeah, they are. But you know, at the same time, you could say probably too, we got another couple weeks before they get really, really big in baseball.
Sure.
We got a whole nother month.
Yeah. But when you're battling a specific team, you know, you're talking about could be a 7-game swing.
Well, the Milwaukee Brewers,
couldn't even win 14 in a row, lamos.
They won again today. They're playing the Cubs in a doubleheader.
But they lost yesterday.
Yeah, they almost won. They were up 2-1 in the bottom of the ninth, and Cincinnati came back and beat them in extras. But the Brewers are now 30-4.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's 30-5. I got to double check that.
I thought it was 30-4, but I could be incorrect as well.
I think it's 30-5 since they lost yesterday in their last 35 games. And they won again today.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
Yes. Quite good.
But really the story of the weekend, because they were trying to win their 15th game in a row, right?
No. I think they lost their 14th.
14th, okay.
I think they won 13 in a row and lost their 14th.
But who cares about that?
Well, I'm sure Milwaukee fans do.
It was Dodgers-Padres weekend.
It was Dodgers-Padres. It was jumping down in L.A.
The Padres had gained control. Well, I shouldn't say control.
They had taken first place.
They had gained the lead in the NL West over the stupid Dodgers, who everybody thought was going to win 120,000 games. Well, it didn't go well for my Padres. The Dodgers swept them and damn near shut them out. The whole weekend.
Yeah, it was a sight to behold.
And you were there.
I was there. When you go down to see a series like that and you got rivals that are only a couple hours apart, dude, that whole city was just buzzing. And that's why like big time baseball is awesome. There were a bunch of Padre fans there. The stadium was packed. Like a couple hours before the game, everyone's milling around like the area around the stadium. Every market you went to, every restaurant. I mean, it was awesome. There was a great freaking buzz. And again, it just made me jealous that we don't have baseball, because you hear it up in Seattle right now. Go to any Mariner game right now. It's the same sort of buzz. Now, some of the steam came out of the sails there with, you know, the Mets. But I mean, Seattle right now is same thing. They got Mariner fever, and pennant fever like that is real. And I noticed this when I was kind of walking around, because we were just cruising around the city. We got a hotel. It was like 2 miles from the stadium, and we took a shuttle bus over. So we were walking around all weekend, and I'm telling you, I have never seen a city that was just so caught up, not in a team, but in a single player. And you think about the Dodgers, right? From Freddie Freeman to Mookie Betts to, I mean, they have, you know, from Muncy to Kershaw. I mean, they have big players, right? All throughout that lineup. And you would think that when you went there that you would see a smattering of jerseys. You do not. It is 95% Shohei Ohtani. Everywhere you go, it is Ohtani. And the seats we bought, it was kind of cool. We ended up, I just bought some off of, you know, whatever, StubHub or Vivid, whatever. I don't remember what ticket app I used. And we sat by some season ticket holders that had those same tickets since 1966.
Whoa.
Which was awesome. And so I was talking to them, and I couldn't wear Dodger gear, but I was wearing the Japan World Baseball Classic, my Japan hat. And my gal sitting next to me, and so they were asking us, and I was like, oh, we came down here, she loves Ohtani. And the guy goes, dude, he goes, I've never seen anything like it. And I said, that's when he said, I've been coming here since the 60s. This is my dad.
These so he saw Fernando Mania.
Like... And that's what I brought up. I said, what is this like? And because he goes, dude, I've seen it all. And I brought up Fernando. And when you go there, like there's a big, huge mural of Fernando, and you know, and you did see some Fernando jerseys. And he said, that's the only thing that I can tell you that comes close. But
wait, he was there since the 60s?
Yeah, he was there since the 60s. The
well,
dad
what about,
was.
What about Koufax Drysdale?
I'm telling you, when he said that, I asked him what had taken over a single player. And he said the only thing that came close was Fernando Mania.
Probably harder to get a Koufax jersey back then.
Yeah. And he was saying, he goes, dude, you might flip a coin. But he said with Fernando, it felt weird because it was so many, obviously, locals, right? Because the Latino community. He goes, dude, you come here on a night when Ohtani's pitching. And he goes, I promise you, he goes, look around. He goes, half of this stadium will be Japanese people, and they will not be from here. I ran into, we were at they have a cool Union Station market where it's just like food carts. And I bet you I ran into 10 people that randomly came up to me in the 2 hours we were hanging around there and wanted to talk to me about my Japan hat, all from Japan that had come over to see Ohtani. And he said, you didn't get that with Fernando. He said, Fernando, obviously with the Latino community, but he goes, I've been coming here since the 60s and I've never seen anything like Ohtani mania. And he goes, it's just crazy. He is an island unto himself in that city. And now you realize why someone paid him $700 million.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Worth every penny.
Worth
right?
every penny.
You wonder, like, this raises a couple questions in my head. One, did Ichiro screw up by coming to Seattle?
A little bit, maybe. He should have gone to L.A.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because he was Ohtani before Ohtani. It wasn't the two-way thing, but... And Seattle has an enormous Asian population. But a lot of the people in Seattle didn't fully embrace Ichiro. And the people of L.A. do not have a problem embracing that guy down there right now.
He's a little more... Ichiro was a little more aloof and kind of guarded, I think, than Shohei. Not that Shohei's like super outgoing guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's something about Shohei... And it may just be his style of play.
Well, because
he hits bombs.
Well, that needs the...
Or he's good looking.
And he pitches
like,
too.
And Ichiro is a little bit more... I don't know. It's kind of weird to think, you know, it's like... And he does both. So he's very unique.
Yeah.
And he does both really, really, really well. So he's a better player than Ichiro. But at the same time, Ichiro was freaking awesome.
What an MVP and rookie of the year.
He was one of a kind.
Yes.
And yet...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, you wonder what... Ichiro would have been in different markets, and what is Shohei in different markets?
Well, and so I was talking to the BTJ's family because obviously Ohtani in Japan is the same thing. He's a god, but Ichiro was too. Like,
what's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Ichiro, same thing. That he got that royal treatment in Japan, but they said that Ohtani's just he's Ichiro 2.0. He's a bigger deal, and America embraces him the way that they never did with Ichiro.
I don't know why.
Yeah, because
it's probably just his style.
Just the style.
He hits bombs.
He hits bombs. He pitches.
Steals bases.
He's in every ad. Ichiro was very kind of quiet and reserved, and Ohtani is
a slap hitter.
Yeah, versus Ohtani that's up there, you know, and just when he comes up, that whole place just goes nuts at every at bat. And I just have never getting to be around that for a couple of days. It was kind of, you remember, was it a year and a half ago? I was over in Japan and I was like, oh my God, like this is unlike anything I've ever seen. Then to see it in Los Angeles, such a diverse city. And it was really cool. Cause you saw every Asian person, by the way, there was no Yamamoto jerseys. Yeah, whatever.
Aww.
No.
Poor
so,
guy.
Sorry.
What about Roki Sasaki?
No.
He's like on the IL.
Every
poor
Asian
little dude.
Every Asian person, Ohtani. Every black person, Ohtani. Every white person, Ohtani. It just crossed all lines.
And yes, we know he was in LA before the Dodgers. I mean, I get it. But and that's a good example too. It's like Shohei wasn't this in LA when he was with the Angels.
Yeah.
He's this in LA with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Shows you a little bit about you know, just the Dodger brand too.
Yeah. And
which
that
is why
true.
I asked Ichiro.
Yeah.
You know, Ichiro as a Dodger probably has bigger impact than Ichiro as a Mariner.
And someone's saying Griffey has a hold on Seattle in a way that and he still does. Ichiro does not. And that is true. But having grown up in the Griffey era in Seattle and went up to games all the time, and believe me, Griffey was the king of that city. It is nothing compared to what Shohei Ohtani is doing down in Los Angeles. And what I don't know, I don't know if he was like this when he was with the Angels. I don't know
if it was this kind of deal. I don't think it was.
But you pair a brand like the Dodgers and
New Balance
and you throw him with Ohtani and you throw in the World Series and all of that, and it's like, oh my God. Ohtani bobblehead night is coming up, and there were already people in the stands trying to barter with other people, like for like, how do I get my hands on yours? Like it was like 2 weeks off, and people were already trying to make plans on how to make sure they got there to get the Ohtani bobblehead.
The other thing that helps Ohtani in LA, Dodgers versus the Angels, is the Dodgers are just way better.
Yes,
and of course they have way more fans there than the Angels do.
The Angels stunk when Ohtani was there.
But the other question I had before we put this to bed is Shohei Ohtani already the greatest Dodger of all time?
I think he might be the most popular one. To see an old white guy from the 60s say that he was bigger than Koufax and Fernando, I was like, whoa.
Koufax, Drysdale.
Yeah.
The white guys.
The white guys.
Now, let's not forget Jackie Robinson, the black guy. And then now we got this Japanese guy.
Dude, if you want to end racism.
And the Hispanic guy.
You want to end racism and bring us all together. Just every city should have a Shohei Ohtani and everyone will just.
So wait.
Everyone will get together.
So the Japanese guy trumps the Hispanic guy, the black guy, and the white guys?
Yes.
In LA, is what you're telling us?
Right. I don't know if it, like how long he plays there, but yes, right now it is.
That's crazy.
That dude owns that city. Although I will say the guy said that Fernando Mania was, he gave the advantage because everyone comes from a long way away for Ohtani, and Fernando was just, you know, you hop, skip, and a jump up the old freeway there.
And he was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Fernando. He was kind of fat.
Yeah.
And he looked way up in the sky when he did his windup.
Yeah.
And he was a lefty.
There's a really cool mural now that they did on the side of the stadium. It's enormous. Like this big 100-foot mural with Fernando, and it's pretty cool.
Here's a question. I just keep thinking of questions. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for being a radio host here. Mm-hmm. What percentage of LA is Hispanic versus Asian? What do you guys think?
Oh, I'm guessing that the Hispanic population is much, much larger. But there is obviously a large Asian community.
City of Los Angeles or Los Angeles
all of it.
Area?
No, the whole thing. Like, I hate it when they do that.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean...
The whole area.
L.A. Metro, then.
No, well, the whole...
Los Angeles area. Greater Los
Hispanics,
Angeles
Hispanics, probably over 50% of the population, don't you think?
I don't know. It's a lot of it.
I would bet they're number one. I don't know if they're over 50%.
Yeah. Let's see what I can find here.
You look that up, okay.
Hispanic Latino. So this is Greater Los Angeles. So this does incorporate everybody. We've got Hispanic or Latino of any race. So you throw in your mixes in there. 48.6.
Okay. So right about 50%.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Asian alone, non-mix,
25.
We got 15. If you throw in some mixes, then we're up in the 20s.
Okay, lower than I thought.
Yeah.
Lower than I thought.
But I just thought it was cool to see all, like, just everybody kind of, everyone was an Ohtani guy. That entire stadium, whenever he came up to bat, and everyone wearing Ohtani gear. And, like, when you went into the Dodger, like, the team store, let's just say that if you were looking for jerseys or T-shirts, limited sizing for one player, an abundance of every, if you want a Freddie Freeman shirt or jersey, brother, you got your pick. Size, shape, color, whatever you want. Ohtani, it's slimmer pickings.
Deal brings up that Koufax was Jewish, which is right.
Yeah.
I mean, does any team have a more culturally appropriate set of stars than the Dodgers?
Well, go Dodgers. They're bringing us
My
all.
My God. We should all be wearing Dodgers
to
gear.
To the Dodgers.
The Hispanic, the black guy, the Jewish guy, the white guy, the Asian guy.
Yeah.
What do we need?
I think we got everything.
We need a Muslim?
Yeah.
Why did I say it like that?
I don't know. But now you're not, that's not very
Muslim.
Dodger of you. Just don't be a Giants fan or they'll curb you.
Yeah, see, this is.
Wait. It was the Dodgers fans that curbed a Giants fan.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Don't be a Giants fan.
Oh, I thought you were saying a Giants fan would curb you. Okay.
No, Buck,
somebody's a little sensitive over there.
Yeah, a little sensitive over there, Giants boy.
The history is right.
Giants.
Let's go to break, please.
Okay. We will be right back. We will check in on a few quarterback battles in college football, including Oregon's. But first, Buck with SportsCenter. All right, let's check in on a few quarterback battles in college football.
Some of these have been, a lot of them are being announced now.
Yeah,
they're
trickling in.
Yeah.
We've got four or five games this weekend, I think, don't we?
Week zero, if you will.
We've got a game. You know, it's funny. I think if I'm a college program, I want to be that first game.
Do
because,
you?
Yes.
Well, Iowa State, Kansas State, I mean, it's in Ireland. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, because I spent an inordinate amount of time thinking about that game.
Yeah. And why would
only
you?
Because it's the first game.
Well, also, if you sign up for that one, even though you have to start your fall camp and everything sooner, you're basically building in another bye week. You're still going to play the same number of games as everybody else. Yeah. So you're getting an extra week off somewhere else in the middle of the season.
Yeah,
maybe
it's
the next week. Maybe it's 3 weeks later.
And that is a ranked game, right? Exactly. Iowa State and Kansas State.
I've said this before. This is a big game in the Big 12.
Yeah.
The Big 12 is going to be bananas this year. Mm-hmm. That's a big one.
Absolutely. I mean, and your other slate, I mean, so that. This Saturday, we've got Iowa State, Kansas State, which will be good. And that's in the morning, by the way. You can walk up, you can wake up at 9 and watch that from Ireland. And then we got Idaho State, UNLV, which, but then we get Fresno State, Kansas. I'll watch that.
Ooh, my Jayhawks.
Rock chalk. And then Sam Houston and Western Kentucky.
Don't care.
Stanford and Hawaii.
Stanford and Frank Reich.
Yeah. And Hawaii.
Taking
and
on Hawaii and Timmy.
On the island.
On the island.
Timmy Chang. Isn't he their coach?
I think he is.
I think he's their coach. Yeah, he's their coach.
Look, can we just say that in the world of NIL and needing money, Hawaii is no longer relevant. They're done. But yeah, that's that. And then Thursday.
Say whatever you like.
And then we get a game. We get a couple games on Thursday and then that next Saturday.
What's on Thursday?
Thursday, I believe the highlighter is Boise State. Hold on, I got to scroll down. Boise State is playing. Yeah, that's the primetime game. On ESPN, we will get Boise, South Florida.
I think you mixed headliner and highlight game.
Oh, did I? Well, I mean, highlight game.
But I like
game,
it. No.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that the highlight game? Yeah.
It's, yeah, I think it should be a new, you said highlighter. I think it should be the new term.
Okay.
The highlighter
it's
game.
It's the highlighter.
Yeah.
Boise State, South Florida. We got Ohio, Rutgers. Yeah. Lafayette, Bowling Green.
Oh, come on. Yeah. You're wasting my time.
Okay. Well, then the only one that we give two Fs about is that Boise State.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Julian Sayin won the Ohio State job.
Mm-hmm.
We learned that today.
Yes.
And he beat out somebody else.
Yeah, it was a guy, Kevin...
Lincoln Kindholz.
Lincoln, yeah.
Lincoln.
And he was a junior, had been there for a while, and everyone expected Sayin to be the guy. Not, and by the way, that kind of sounds like listening to people that...
People are saying.
Well, that maybe it was like there just wasn't another option. They're kind of comparing it to when Kyle McCord won the job a couple years ago. It's his job... And I'm not certain that everyone at Ohio State is thrilled that that's their best option, but we shall see because they open with Texas.
It is interesting the verbiage that Ryan Day used. He said he separated himself. Well, that doesn't mean he looked great.
No.
That just means he was better than the other players.
Yes. So, we shall see. I mean, that's a hell of a, like, hey, it's your job. We don't really want you to have the job, but it's your job. And then you got Arch Manning, who has all this hype coming in, but he's got a lot to prove. And
yeah.
I mean, Texas, Ohio State week one. With,
so that game is a week from this Saturday?
That's a week from this Saturday. Yes. And that is the highlighter game, by the way,
the highlighter game,
of that. That's the big nooner.
Yeah.
Or 9 a.m. out here, but that will be the big noon game is Ohio State welcoming Texas. And by the way, thank you, Ohio State, for Texas, for having the balls to schedule that game week one. Let's go.
I agree. All right, so does Dante Moore have a stronghold on the Oregon job? Some guy says, one guy, he says, not so fast. And I'm not talking about Lee Corso.
No, but I got two
who
others.
Who is still with us?
I got two others, although, yeah, he's retiring this year.
Thank God.
I got an interesting, like, there's it's just that when we come back, I'm sure we have this discussion. I think this it's very weird the way some teams handle this, and I will talk about this. I think Oregon, it's a strange case.
That's coming up next here on 105.1 The Fan. All right, so Pete Thamel, who is of the, I don't know, I think of him as New York Times. Am I wrong?
Now he's
ESPN?
Back with ESPN.
ESPN?
He had been, I think, maybe The Athletic or USA Today.
These guys, they bounce around
they do bounce
with
around.
These jobs over here. He's now at.
Why did you suddenly turn into Andrew Dice Clay?
Well, because, you know, I had to.
Why are you going in?
I had to emphasize it, you know.
Yes.
He's with ESPN, College Football Scribe. Mm-hmm. He was on Pat McAfee's show on Friday, and he said that it is hardly a given, hardly a certainty, I believe is what he used, the term he used, that Dante Moore is the starting quarterback at Oregon this year.
Well, it can't be a certainty because they won't release one. And I'm guessing that you're going to go into week one against Montana State and still not have one. And then we'll find out when they go out onto the field. And my guess is it's going to be Dante Moore. So this is my only rub that I have with Pete Thamel, who, again, is a very smart guy, very bright guy, well-connected. It's not like Pete Thamel's at Oregon practice. He's just not. So where did you hear that? And to say that it's far from certain, you're not going out and saying that you don't think it's going to be Dante Moore. That's not a stretch at all. That's a non-headline. This is like when Brett Favre would be like, you'd get a report back in the day, or Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, uncertain on future. Cool. Nice non-headline. Because the two people that have gone to Oregon, and by the way, this is true for a lot of programs. I'm not taking any shots at Oregon, but Dan Lanning will not let anyone from the local media anywhere near his practices. But like the Bussin' with the Boys guys and like Josh Pate and Yogi Roth are in there like lifting weights with the team and like breaking bread.
Why is that?
Well, it's because
They're bros.
They're bros. And the national media...
They can expand Oregon's brand better than the average reporter.
Yes.
Can.
So there's no value in having me go down there and bench press with Dan Lanning. But Josh Pate goes down there and bench presses. And
or McAfee or...
Yes. Yeah.
Well, McAfee, I guess.
And the other one, this again, I want to be careful here because this is in no way a shot at Pate or anyone else. To an extent, they're cheerleaders. When's the last time...
That's why they get access.
Yes. When's the last time that Yogi Roth or Josh Pate went down? And Pate is a... I think Pate does a great job of covering college football. So I do not want to turn this into a slander on theirs. Because it's easy to take a clip and be like, oh, local radio guy who says these guys suck. Far from it. I consume a lot of their product. And I think they do a great job. But when Yogi Roth or Josh Pate go down on their tour, and Pate is at every big school, I think he's in Columbus next. He was just down at Eugene. And Yogi Roth, when's the last time they walked into a school and left and were like, you know what? Got to tell you, from what I'm hearing, a little sketchy at the quarterback position. And quite frankly, up front, kind of bunch of candy asses. No, you go in there. You do the song and dance, you listen to the coaches, you get to probably watch some form of practice a little bit here and there, but you get fed the company line of, hey, this is great. Everything's, and so the reports are glowing. Every school they go to is glowing. And that's why they get that access. But when Josh Pate and Yogi both went down to Oregon, they both kind of let it slip where when they were talking about it, they're like, oh, Dante Moore is going to be fine. And that's not them breaking any news, but when they leave Oregon or reporting on the quarterback position, both of those guys, the first words out of their mouth is Dante Moore. So I asked the question, who do I want to believe? Pete Thamel saying it's an uncertainty, or two guys that were there and one of two things were happening. Either they actually got to see with their own two eyes practice, and I don't know how much practice they got to watch or how many meetings they got to sit into, but they certainly got better access than any of us. So either they saw it with their own two eyes and subconsciously they're like Dante Moore, or they were being told by the coaches, hey, nothing's for certain, but dude, Dante Moore is going to be fine. And that's the line that is being fed and they're pumping it up. So I would tend to take more of that than I would an outside source who's maybe connected. But where is that coming from? Yeah. I'll take those two guys that are on campus, and I don't believe, just from what I hear, and it's far from certain, everyone feels that there is a Dante Moore is going to be the guy.
Well, I think let me just read you Thamel's quote. He says, I think that's the expectation right now as you look at Oregon. Moore's obviously been in the program. They paid him a lot of money to be the backup last year, but it would not surprise me if we do see some real snaps from backup Austin Novosad this year. Really talented young guy coming in. I would think that Dante Moore is ahead there right now, but I don't know if it's a hammer lock on the job.
Yeah.
That was the actual quote.
Sure.
So he's hearing from somebody that Novosad looks good.
Yeah. And by the way,
He's not the first to have heard that.
Two things can be true, but I believe that when they go against Montana State, Dante Moore will be there. Doesn't mean, and by the way, we see this a lot, and wouldn't surprise me with Notre Dame, wouldn't surprise me with Alabama, wouldn't surprise me with any of them, that you may see early on in the season, you may see both guys get some work, especially in blowout situations, or if the offense is struggling a little bit. A lot of times when you name a guy, he's not handed that job for life. I had that 2 years when I was at BYU. We started the season with a quarterback, and 2 weeks into it, we had a different quarterback. And normally when that happens, then it's that guy and he's running with it. So, I mean, this is a fairly common practice. I just take it from the people that are around that program when I listen to the players talk, and a couple of the national guys that were there. I think subconsciously, I just think that's what's coming out of their mouth because it's either what they saw or what they've been told. So I'll take those guys that have been on campus and that have kind of had a look behind the curtain that most people don't get a look at. So I'll take that on the other side and say that I do think it's, again, you can never say a lock, but I would be very, very surprised if Dante Moore isn't the guy. And unless he struggles, it's going to be his job.
All right, coming up next, let's check in on the Browns' job.
You want to talk about a job that truly is up in the air and that is just the worst quarterback room in the NFL?
Wait a minute.
There you go.
Let's do that.
We got a QB1 announced today.
Yeah. You want to talk about an uncertain QB1. That's the worst quarterback room in the NFL.
And that will be next on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.